Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's broadcast. This is Tap Into the Truth, and with you as always, I am your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. And I am joining you today as it is April 15th. Here in the United States, that of course is the last day you have available to file your federal income taxes without paying a penalty. And on a day like today, you can't help but reflect and wonder exactly what it is that you're paying for. If you're somebody that actually does have to pay in, and believe it or not, a majority of Americans actually do not pay in, they get more back than they actually pay in many cases. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? We face the question marks for those of us who are paying, despite the fact that the ones who are paying are constantly told over and over again that they're not paying their fair share. Even though tons of Americans aren't paying anything at all, you have to wonder, what value are you getting? What is it exactly that you know for a fact that you're receiving? Is there anything? Is it worthwhile? We get scandal. We get complete inability to make anything happen efficiently. We get a wide variety of completely useless waste of time. I don't know. I don't see the value. Now, obviously, we've got to have the government. The government needs money to operate, and obviously, we've got to fund it somehow. But again, on a day like today, you can't help but wonder, what's the point? What is the true value? Just something to think about. In the meanwhile, we'll go ahead and we will start talking about today's stories. There's a few things kind of all over the place, a little bit, quite honestly, as there is a wide variety of storylines that I have to kind of follow. They're all worth mentioning. They're all big deals for one reason or another, but they seem completely unrelated, and the first one is probably the most important one. I came across this story on Judicial Watch. That is a wonderful website that is keeping a close eye on corruption across America. They started, as you would imagine, being Judicial Watch, by watching things going on in the courtroom and how that wasn't exactly working out the way most people would expect. This, however, is not a judicial story. It is one that would be most judicious, however, for us to pay close attention to. This is a big one. And the reason it's a big one is because it is something that's near and dear to the hearts of a lot of conservatives as far as keeping a close eye on our borders. And if you've been paying attention for any amount of time, then you're well aware of the fact that most conservatives have been saying the reason we need to do this stems from the fact that it's a national security risk. And it is. How do we know it is now? Listen to this. An ISIS camp has been discovered just a few miles from Texas. This, according to Mexican authorities, this was on Judicial Watch on April 14th. That is a few short days ago. Guess what? Actually, that was just yesterday. ISIS is operating the camp just miles from El Paso, Texas, according to two Judicial Watch sources that include the Mexican Army, field grade officers, and Mexican federal police inspectors. The exact location where the terrorist group has established its base is around 8 miles from the U.S. border in an area that is known as Anapara. That's situated just a little bit west of the area also known as Anyway, the bottom line is it's close to El Paso, Texas. My pronunciation, forgive it. At any rate, another ISIS cell to the west of that location in Puertos Palmas targets the New Mexico towns of Columbus and Deming for easy access to the United States. The same knowledgeable sources confirmed. Okay, now do you have that? Two, not one, two ISIS training camps. One of them close to New Mexico, one of them close to El Paso, Texas. Now, during the course of the joint operations last week, Mexican Army and federal law enforcement officers discovered documents in Arabic, as well as plans of Fort Bliss, which is the sprawling military installation that houses the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division. They discovered Muslim prayer rugs, along with documents, while they were looking around during this operation where they raided these facilities. Now, law enforcement and intelligence sources report that the area around there is dominated primarily by drug cartels and gangs known as Barrio Aztec. Now, the cartel controls part of that area, and it's really what makes it so dangerous and a hostile operating environment for the Mexican Army and the federal police. Now, according to the same sources, coyotes engaged in human trafficking and human smuggling are working in that area as well. These people, these coyotes, are actually helping to move ISIS terrorists through the desert and across the border between their side of the border and an area known as Sunland Park in New Mexico. Now, to the east of El Paso, a cartel-backed coyotes are also smuggling ISIS terrorists through the very porous borders close to Fort Hancock, another southwestern town in Texas. These specific areas were targeted for exploitation by ISIS because of their understaffed municipal and county police forces and the relatively safe havens that these areas provide for the unchecked, large-scale drug smuggling that was already going on. Mexican intelligence sources also reported that ISIS intends to exploit the railways and airport facilities in that vicinity as well. The sources also say that ISIS has spotters located in East Pronto, which are the mountains around New Mexico, largely managed by the Bureau of Land Management. And these folks are in place to assist with terrorist border crossing operations. ISIS is conducting reconnaissance of regional universities and White Sands Missile Range, government facilities, and, of course, Fort Bliss, not to mention the electrical power facilities in and around several New Mexico cities. Now, that's big, ladies and gentlemen. That is huge, and this has been documented now. So, kudos to Judicial Watch for stepping outside of their normal area. I did reach out to Judicial Watch, and they didn't have the personnel to come on. I was going to have somebody come on this upcoming Sunday show and talk about this and talk a little bit about Judicial Watch itself. But if you're interested in them, I highly recommend you check out their website. It's www.judicialwatch.org. Feel free to check out their blog areas. You can check out a lot of other great information. And if after you check them out and you decide you kind of like them, they have areas on their website where you can make contributions to them. And I highly recommend, if you've got the money to spare and you're interested in making any contribution, I believe these folks are a worthwhile opportunity to do so. I would recommend it. But let's get back to the point of the story. And the point of this story is plain and clear. We have a very open, porous border to the south. We've known this for a long time. We have had multiple administrations now that have refused to do anything about that. Their rationale has always been either I'm afraid to be branded a racist, or if they're on the liberal side of the spectrum, they're motivated because they want to get more people in here that they can make many promises to, and in exchange for those promises, hope to get them to vote illegally in our elections. That is the deal. free labor, or next to free labor, fear of being branded a racist, or, far more insidious, just looking for an opportunity to take advantage of people that ordinarily would probably be very conservative by nature, and that is the Hispanic community. Because they're family-oriented. Most of them are very strict, a Roman Catholic religious. These are not people that ordinarily would align themselves with the Democratic Party, but they do so when they get here because they're under the false impression that the National Democratic Party wants to help them in some fashion, which of course they don't. They want to use them, much as they want to use any and everybody else that does anything on their behalf. But this is huge, too. Verified, documented, ISIS training camps just to the south of our national border, with intended targets in both New Mexico and in Texas. Something you're not hearing the mainstream media report about, something that you can find if you dig deep enough. Right now, speaking out of fear to keep their jobs, but still doing so because it's the right thing, Border Patrol agents are coming forward to certain individuals hoping that they will get the story out. They're coming forward with the story that we are seeing the largest number of what they refer to as other than Mexican, OTM, illegal crossings of our border. Large numbers of people that are identified as either being Syrian or Iranian or Iraqi. In fact, there was a case just, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. There was a case roughly about 2 weeks ago where they picked up an Iraqi national whom they were able to verify had traveled and trained under the Russian military. So the Iraqi military training wasn't enough. Got Russian training. And then was crossing our border illegally to the south. And was on his way to Baltimore, Maryland. And then shortly after this much gets documented, the paperwork's filed. They're doing their due diligence. Suddenly, they lose track of where this individual is. Nobody knows where he's at. He obviously must have been released because he certainly didn't fight his way out. This individual had to have been released. But they don't know where he is. So, my guess is, by now, he's in Baltimore, Maryland. How is this happening? It's happening because way too many people are too afraid to call a spade a spade. Too many people are afraid to speak up and say what is obvious truth, what is necessary to be spoken, and that is these are dangerous times. And there is nothing racist about saying you want the border controlled. There is nothing racist about saying that we have to control our borders. Because now, we know the bad guys are over there. Although there's some serious question marks as to whether or not the current occupier of the White House thinks that ISIS really is the bad guys. I mean, publicly he said they were the JV. This was well before they made strides to initiate what is shaping to be quite the impressive caliphate. A group of people that now have sworn that they will fly the black flag of Islam over the White House. And obviously they're going to have the ability to do it because what has happened just recently, this past week, a 4-year-old crawled underneath the gate and the Secret Service comes and the D.C. police detachment, they come running, guns drawn at the 4-year-old. But then today, a little gyro helicopter lands in the West Lawn, was it? I think it was the West Lawn. At any rate, it lands inside the fences of the White House. How does an aircraft of that or any other nature get that close to the White House in the first place? That's an obvious failure on the controlled airspace. the four-year-old, well, that must be the real danger. Perhaps he's a midget. A terrorist midget with suicide bombing on his mind. He's a four-year-old. That was a kid that just did something silly. And the people charged with protecting the White House come flying with guns drawn. Meanwhile, you can land on the freaking lawn with a helicopter, and that's not going to draw as much attention. Okay, they arrest the guy. The guy, luckily, wasn't a terrorist. But what about just a few short months ago, the guy that had flipped his lid, jumped the fence, got inside the White House, and was roaming around for a while before somebody finally caught him? That guy had some issues. That guy got pretty far in. That's the kind of guy the Secret Service and the DC police are supposed to stop before they get across the fence. But the four-year-old, they can respond to quickly. Everybody else, not so much. I mean, it's about like the TSA, for crying out loud. What do you got going on? Well, you got a lot of folks that are groping people, getting their cheap thrills. In fact, a Denver airport TSA agent just recently, and by recently I mean it was either yesterday or today, got fired because it came out earlier this week that they had been intentionally flagging certain people that they found attractive. In this case, it was a man who is, of course, attracted to other men. But they flag it by getting the person operating the screener to indicate to the x-ray machine that the person is a different gender than they actually are. The machine then picks up that there's an anomaly, and then they get the opportunity to grope these people. This has been going on since this screening started, and it's never anybody that you would actually suspect might be a terrorist that ever gets screened here. Well, that would be profiling, or that would be racist. But I'm sorry, you have to do a certain amount of profiling when the majority of the people you're looking for fit a certain profile. It's a tool in the law enforcement effort. It's a way of saying, all right, this is the type of people we're looking for, now let's do it. What is wrong with that? It's wrong if you're using that as a way just to harass people you know is innocent. But then to go to an extreme where, okay, well, this person's obviously Muslim, we can't red flag them because they'll think that's racist. Although I'm still not sure how being Muslim is racist. Because Muslim, other than the fact that it's a freaking worthless death cult and not a religion. Yeah, here comes another round of death threats. But I've had enough of them. They don't bother me anymore. It's a death cult. It's not a religion. And it covers everything. It's an entire mind control, cultish way to control every aspect of your life. Just, there's a religious aspect to part of it. That doesn't qualify it as a religion. It really doesn't. But be that as it may, last time I checked, they're trying to convert everyone. There are people of several different races that identify as Muslim. So when you say we're going to target these people, you're not being racist. You're not. Sorry. By definition, you are not. But regardless of how you look at this, coming through the airports, those folks, nah, can't do it. But oh look, there's some 70-year-old nuns. Let's run them through the body scanners. Oh, there's a troop of Girl Scouts that are traveling to a whatever event. Let's run them through. Let's harass all the people that we're 99.725% sure has nothing at all to do with terrorism and never would. And we'll let the folks that have a much higher possibility of being in some fashion related to terrorism, we'll just let them go because, you know, we're the TSA. We're the government. Get that one I was asking you about earlier? What are we paying for? We're paying for incompetence. We're paying for ridiculousness. Because this guy who got fired, he's not the first person to do this. There's been stories about this popping up ever since they put the screening process in play. Usually, it's been stories, the ones that have been allowed to come forward, of men using it as an excuse to grope women. So this one is a bit of a new slant. The guy that was after other guys. But that's where we're at. Terrorism is real, and terrorism has nothing at all to do with body scanners. What happened to the idea of living our lives in a fashion where we don't let the terrorists win and we don't change what we do in order to get there? What about just applying common sense? I mean, common sense is, it's become an oxymoron. There really is nothing common about common sense. It's become so rare, it's practically a superpower. I fully expect one day real soon I'm going to open up a Marvel comic, or maybe a DC, but yeah, ordinarily Marvel's a little ahead on the social issues. Marvel comic, open it up and read about Common Sense Man. That's where we're at in America. I mean, it's ridiculous. ISIS training camps, just a few short miles from our southern border. And is this enough to move the current administration to shore up our border? Nope, it's not even enough to change our current strategy of policing the border with too few agents that are outgunned and outmaneuvered at every possible point of entry. It's unacceptable. It would be unbelievable if it wasn't for the fact that it's been going on now for way too long. The southern border is not just an Obama thing. Obama's far worse on it than his predecessors. But George W. Bush could have, should have done something about it. Didn't. They started to build a fence and decided, nah, never mind. Let's build an electronic fence. Okay, but nah, let's don't. Money got allocated. Then the money disappeared. What happened? Where did the money go? The fence didn't get finished. At this point, I say we let over a few more Mexicans. This is going to sound racist. I'm going to warn you now. Let's let over a few more Mexicans. Let them stay here. But they have to help build the wall. You know, a lot of them are pretty good at general labor. That's typically what they get used for, right? Doing the jobs that no Americans want. That's what I've heard so many times, I'm sick to death of hearing it. But there may be some truth to it, since a lot of Americans don't seem to want to work anymore. So where are we at with that? So let them over and say, okay, you can stay if you help build the wall. Making sure that nobody else comes across illegally. And that's the whole thing. It's just like, somehow, it's like it's supposed to be okay for them to come over here because they want a better life. There's a right way and a wrong way to come here. Please, let's do that. And let's pay attention to the border, because if we have terrorists just pouring across, how long do you think it's going to be? I mean, what are they waiting for exactly? Are they waiting for us to try and repeal the Patriot Act, which a motion is underway right now to do that? And we'll talk more about that on an upcoming Sunday show. The effort to undo the surveillance state and get the NSA out of the business of spying on Americans. Because, yeah, guess what? That's not what they were built for. The NSA was not designed to be spying on Americans. But we're the only ones getting spied on, at least effectively. Were they able to stop the Boston bombers? No. Why? They weren't American citizens. They had plenty of connections back to Russian Muslim extremists. What was their point? Were we watching them? They were on the FBI list, but they weren't watching them close enough to catch them before they did this. So, what's the point? Why even have the NSA? Why let them continue to spy on us when they're not doing anything worthwhile other than encroaching on our privacy? It's like the Fourth Amendment doesn't even exist to these people anymore. I mean, it's bad enough they want to act like the First Amendment doesn't actually exist. In fact, in a lot of real ways, you might as well look at the Bill of Rights and you could say nearly half of them are no longer in existence because our federal government no longer acknowledges that, let alone acknowledging the fact that the rest of the Constitution actually limits its power and authority. But the rights that are actually expressly mentioned in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, freedom of religion, to practice openly, freely. Oh, they don't recognize that. That's what you get with all these folks that are going around telling bakeries and photographers and florists, it doesn't matter that you have a religious objection to a same-sex ceremony. They're having a same-sex wedding. You have to provide your goods or services to them. You don't have a choice. That's a violation of the First Amendment. Freedom of speech? Go ahead and try to have your say, because the guy that landed on the White House lawn in the helicopter today, he was supposed to be trying to deliver letters of a bunch of people expressing their voice. Now, there's a better way to do it. There's a better way to do it. First of all, don't break the law in your attempt to protest. I get that. But it's still a matter of expression. This was political speech, and that should be his defense when he goes to court. And he will go to court. I don't think it'll hold up. But again, what's one of the reasons it won't hold up? Well, number one, you're not supposed to land on the White House lawn. But beyond that, they don't acknowledge the First Amendment anymore. The Fourth Amendment, your right to privacy, no illegal search and seizures. They're collecting every bit of data, every cell phone call you make. It's not just the metadata. We know this now. The documents are out there. The information has been made clear. It's not just the metadata. They got it all. And they're saving it. They're keeping it. Sometimes they're listening in. This broadcast right here today is being listened to and recorded. Now, whether or not anybody actually listens to all of it right now, I don't know. Don't care. It probably would just piss them off because they know that they're being forced to do something that is unconstitutional. And it is. But this is huge, though. And I'm going to roll back off the rant and come back to this point. It's plain. It's simple. It's to the point. ISIS. The Occupiers JB team. The folks that are destroying entire cities and villages in parts of Syria and northern Iraq. That are going, in some cases, door to door, asking if you're a Christian or Muslim, and if you say you're a Christian, they shoot you on the spot, or they behead you. ISIS, this evil entity that's trying to become ISIL, they're not ISIL yet, no matter what the occupier and his minions refer to them as, because in order to become ISIL, they have to be the Islamic State of the Levant. They don't have control of the entire Levant yet. Now that's their target, that's their goal, that is what they want to do. But the Levant is just a region that also includes what's modern-day Israel and big chunks of Iran. ISIS, the JV team, the evil that we should be standing up to and fighting, is now able to just come across our very open and very porous southern border. And the only thing standing between us and them is outmatched, overgunned border patrol agents that have been handcuffed by our administration and told not to do their job. It's time to be on your phones and sending emails to our representatives to get something done about this and make sure that they're aware, because we're not seeing this story on the 6 o'clock news. We're not hearing this on our local terrestrial radio stations, and we're certainly not seeing this on the mainstream media news outlets, regardless of what they are. They don't want you to know that's going on. All right, going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about kids. Well, there's a little more to it than that. But when we get back, you'll find out. Stay with me.
I'm looking for a miracle. Looking for a miracle. Angel looking over me. Just a breath of hope to see.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for staying with me. Just a reminder, in case you're wondering, all the music on this broadcast, with the exception of that one song you just heard, is provided to me via Magnatune. It's a great service for podcasters in particular. If you want to be podcast safe, making sure you're completely legal, that you don't have to worry about all the royalties being paid the way you're supposed to, they're a good outfit to go with, just because they deal with independent artists, and I like that. What makes that last song an exception to that rule? That song is from Mr. Cash Easlow, a friend of mine who just happens to be a very talented musician. You may be familiar with him. If you know anything about the Nashville music scene, you've probably heard of the band that he has performed with on multiple occasions. But at any rate, this is one of his solo efforts, and one of the last songs that he has done recently, Miracle. And at some point, I will probably play it in its entirety again. I've done it before. It's a great song, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But all that aside, I promised you we were going to talk about kids. How about this, though? What we're really talking about is parents. Came across this story on actually USA Today. But it's making the rounds. More and more people have heard about it at this point. But I definitely need to, I feel like it's worth talking about. There's a Maryland couple who are creating an absolute debate, debacle over parenting. They had an issue not too long ago when they had a run-in with Child Protective Services, and they took their then 6-year-old and 10-year-old after they were spotted walking home from a park by themselves. Now, they were walking home from a park that was roughly about a block and a half away from their house. Relatively safe and respected neighborhood. I mean, this is it's one of the suburbs of D.C., but it's far away from the mean streets of D.C. It's in Silver Spring, Maryland, and now they've had another run-in. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. These Maryland parents have been accused of child neglect for letting their kids roam around their neighborhood. They had to retrieve them from the county's Children's Protective Services after police removed the youngsters from the park. At about 4:55 p.m. Eastern Time on this past Sunday, Montgomery County Police received a call to check on the welfare of Daniel and Sasha Medvedev. Last name for giving me a fit tonight. At any rate, you've got Daniel, and you've got Sasha. Those are the parents. Their children, Rafi, age 10, and Devorah, age 6, are at the park. Now, officers found the children unattended and brought them to the agency as part of the protocol. At least this is what the cops said. It's our protocol now not to try to call the parents, not to ask the kids, hey, do you live around here? No, no, no. You're here by yourself. we have to take you to Child Protective Services. Now, the Montgomery County Police and County Children's Protective Services are jointly investigating the family for allowing their children to walk repeatedly around the neighborhood alone. The parents say that they know where their children are, but are allowing them some independence. Officers picked up the children about two blocks from home. Now, the article says about two blocks. It was a block and a half. It's not even two blocks. Now, Rafi said, telling them that they would drop them off at home. But instead, the two sat in the patrol car for 2.5 hours. Then they were taken about 10 miles away to Children's Protective Services offices in Rockville, Maryland. And it gets worse. Believe it or not, this gets worse. Now, the parents realized after a while that their kids should have been home, because they had told them to be home by 6. When they hadn't gotten home by 6:30, they started looking around for them. They're getting frantic. They're doing what the parents should be doing. Okay, we expected our kids here by this time. It's 30 minutes. They're less than two blocks away. We should have seen or heard from them by now. Let's go look, see what's going on. Now remember, they were picked up around 4. That means that the 2 hours that they sat in the back of the patrol car and then the drive to Rockville, nobody bothered calling to let the parents know. Now, social workers didn't contact them until after 8 o'clock. The children weren't released back to them until 10:30 p.m. The mother was quoted as saying, "I can't believe we're going through this again." Remember, this is not the first time they've had run-ins because they believe their kids should be able to walk in their relatively safe neighborhood within reason. They've been missing since 6 o'clock. Somebody called 911. The police called CPS. They decided to bring the kids here, and they didn't call us. Now, this is a quote that was taking place while news reporters were there on the scene as the children were being released. Okay? Now, they didn't bother to... In order to take the kids home, they now had to have signed a safety plan that prohibits them from leaving their children unattended. At all. No unattended time. Really? Does that even count at home? Can't leave you in the living room by yourself. Sorry, kids. I mean, what is this? We asked them why did they not bring them home. This is, again, Sasha, the wife. They just said, "We decided the safety of the children was more important." What? What's not safe about taking the kids a block and a half to their home? Did the children look abused? No, they did not. Did the children look like they were endangered? No, they did not. Maryland law prohibits children younger than age 8 from being unattended in a dwelling or a car, but it doesn't make any reference whatsoever to outdoors. In other words, kids, you can still go play outside in Maryland, according to Maryland state law. Evidently, that's not true in this particular city or neighborhood for whatever reason. A person must be at least 13 years old to supervise a child younger than 8. Okay, now you're getting into that iffy range since one of the two children involved was only 10. Back in December, the couple was accused of neglect for allowing their children to walk around the suburban Washington neighborhood together, unaccompanied by an adult. In one instance, Rafi and little Devorah were walking from a playground 2 blocks from the home. And in another, the park was about a mile away. So we're talking a matter of blocks, a matter of a mile. Now, those actions have sparked a big debate. These folks were in the news a lot, and they were called everything but good parents. In fact, this is part of something that's been called free-range parenting, and it's something that's been going on for decades. Most of the people that are my age and older, this is how we grew up. We had a lot of alone time where we learned to supervise ourselves. It was a part of learning independence. Back in February, Children's Protective Services found that they were responsible for unsubstantiated child neglect, and the couple had to appeal that decision. Now, the decision means that the agency will keep a file on the family for at least 5 years. It also left open the question on what would happen if someone again called police to report that the children were walking without adult supervision. Well, Danielle, the mother, was again quoted when asked about this, that I'm not going to risk my kids being snatched again by CPS. If they had let our kids go home, they would have been in bed 2 hours ago. But did you hear that? I'm not going to risk our kids being snatched. We've talked about the nanny state before. We've talked about how certain members of the far left really believe the whole it takes a village scenario, that your kids aren't just your kids, they're everyone's kids. The state, and in this case the state being the government, regardless of what government or which state you're talking about, the state honestly believes that it has ultimate control. It doesn't want to acknowledge that you have rights. It doesn't want to acknowledge that you might know better for your own children. Now, there are some circumstances where Child Protective Services needs to intervene. But here's the part that aggravates me more than anything about that. There is somewhere, probably within the jurisdiction of this particular Maryland County Child Protective Services outfit, children that are genuinely being abused or molested. Are they in their homes? Are they there stopping them? No, they're harassing these people because they let their kids walk in a relatively safe neighborhood. Now, let's talk about safety. Because statistically speaking, even though it may not seem like it because we keep getting bombarded with the worst possible messages, statistically speaking, crime, particularly street crime, is as low as it has been in decades. If you adjust to the total number of people out there who could possibly be committing crimes, it's probably lower than ever, statistically speaking. And when you live in a good neighborhood, and of course, you know, that's what we call a neighborhood where not a lot of crime happens, then you have every reason to believe that your children should be safe. What is wrong with letting them walk outside? We're not talking about 6 and 7 year olds being running around wild. We have one supervised 6 year old. By age 10, you should in fact be able to walk half a block away. By age 10, you should be able to walk a mile away from home. And as long as these kids have continuously shown to their parents that they're capable of watching the clock well enough to be home by the times that the parents want them, what's the problem? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. Right now, we're being conditioned. This is part of that social engineering we've discussed before. But we've been conditioned to believe that our children are never safe. We can't possibly even be good parents anymore unless we're helicopter parents. We've got to be just hovering nearby. Oh, little Jeffy, I'm so sorry that you don't know the answer to your math homework. Let me tell you the answer real quick, and then you can figure out how to get there later. oh, little Jeffy, I'm so sorry that you have to deal with these mean people that expect you to go to work every day. Yeah, that's right. Jeffy is 18 and has to go to work now, and Jeffy still needs mommy to hold his hand. I mentioned before that I'm currently a hiring manager, and I've been a manager that's done a lot of hiring in previous positions as well, and I kid you not, I have had some of these helicopter parents actually come in to the interview with their kids and expect to actually sit at the interview and try to answer questions for them. I've had that happen. I've seen the result. Now, this current generation, the youngest group of folks in there, they're capable of multitasking at a level you couldn't possibly imagine. They've become so adept to the use of all this technology that they can tweet while they're sending text to somebody, and they can be tweeting on Twitter, and they can be watching television, and they're collecting all this information. Their brain is capable of multitasking. They're wired that way because they get accustomed to it. But they're not capable of handling simple things like, how do I dress myself? And by that I don't mean they can't put their own clothing on. I mean they can't pick out their outfit. They don't know how to dress appropriately for whatever the situation is. Does this match? Does this go together? Should I wear this? For example, am I going to a job interview? Perhaps I should put on something slightly more impressive than my old t-shirt and some ripped up jeans. Happens a lot. But now we've been conditioned to believe that we can't possibly be good parents if we expect our children by an age of, I don't know, 9 and 10, to actually have some level of independence. I've spent a lot of time trying to teach my youngest daughter to take on more responsibility. And unfortunately, some of it's taken and some of it hasn't. But that's the struggle of being a parent. You know, when you have so many children, you get to see a wide range of things taking place. But the bottom line is, something that was commonplace a decade and a half ago, suddenly we've been led to believe that it's criminal to allow it to happen now. First of all, when I was young, police officers, if they came across you and they thought there was something wrong, the first thing they asked is, where are your parents? Okay, where do you live? That was the steps they take, not, well, your parents are irrelevant if they're not around here. You know, we don't have to contact them until it's time for us to charge them. The question is, what do you guys think? I don't think that this is a case of neglect. I think this is a case of parents that are genuinely trying to teach their kids a sense of independence, a sense of being able to operate on your own, and that's helpful later on when you get into the real world. The more you coddle these kids, the less they're capable of dealing with things. You want to know why bullying is such a big deal for kids in school today? Because nobody's teaching them how to deal with real life things. These parents, these kids aren't going to be bothered by bullies. And that's not to say that somebody isn't going to try to bully them. They may very well. But these kids, they're going to have been taught enough independence and enough self-reliance that a bully isn't going to push them to crying in the corner and talking about suicide. We have turned an entire generation of Americans into wimps and wusses. Crybabies. That whine that if they just don't get their way about something, that suddenly all of life isn't fair. Well, you're right. Life isn't fair. And whoever told you it was supposed to be was a liar. So is this a criminal offense? I would love for you guys to give me feedback. You feel free to send me an email if you'd like to make a comment to ttap@tapintothetruth.com. Or you can go to the website at tapintothetruth.com. Go down close to the bottom of the homepage. You can send me a comment there. Be happy to check those out and we can discuss it further. Quality comments I will probably mention because this is a story I will be talking about again on Sunday. Be sure to tune in to the Sunday show, by the way. Yeah, I don't understand. How did we get there? How did we get here from where we were? Again, where's the common sense? Why are we paying for cops and child protective services to harass people that are in a situation where all they're doing is having their kids walk in a safe neighborhood instead of having them out doing their jobs? Speaking of which, when we come back, about to take a break, we're going to talk about another terrible cop story. I mean, there's been some really bad ones breaking this past week. These are the kind of things that give police officers a black eye. But we'll talk about the big one that was making the rounds today on social media when we get back. In the meanwhile, stay with me, and we will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for staying with me. And like I promised before I left, we're going to go right into this next story because time is slipping away. Did you see it today? That's my question. All over social media today. I first came across it at Mashable.com. You may have seen it just about everywhere else. This was on Fox News before the end of the day. It's been all over the place. Evidently, a police officer in Marianna, Arizona, actually rammed directly into a gun-toting robbery suspect with his patrol car in a rather graphic dash cam video release. Now, this was released back on Tuesday, and it's been cleared. The police officer was cleared of any wrongdoing, according to the Associated Press. Someone tells me that might change after the public reaction to this video, because it is very graphic if you haven't seen it. Now, the suspect was a Mario Valencia, who actually survived the crash. It actually took place back on February 19th. And he faces several felony charges, including assault on an officer, robbery, and arson. Now, the video was recorded by two separate police cars who were initially slowly trailing Valencia. And in the footage from one car, he appears to actually fire his rifle into the air while walking along the side of the street before another patrol car speeds towards the sidewalk from behind and plows into him, sending him flying. Now, again, like I said, you can find this video just about anywhere. At Mashable.com, they actually have both dash cam videos that you can watch. But it brings to light a much deeper question. You know, again, we're talking about what's our tax dollars paying for is kind of the overall theme of today, since it is April 15th, and it is the last day to file your taxes without penalty. But, you know, depending on where you're at, it's really easy to get a negative view of the police. You know, we've all had run-ins with a guy on a power trip who has a badge that probably shouldn't have one. I mean, if you've been alive more than 20 years, you've had a run-in with at least one. It's unavoidable. It happens. People with that kind of attitude gravitate towards that kind of a job. The problem is that these don't make up the majority of police officers, but these do make up the majority of the stories we hear about them. It's not really news when a cop shows up and then does the job he's supposed to. You know, comes in, treats you with respect, behaves professionally, then either gives you your warning or your ticket if one is warranted, or arrests you if you've got warrants or what have you. He just does his job. No excessive force, no craziness, no shooting you in the back while you try to jog / run away. Nothing like that. But then you have occasions where certain police officers go way over the top. And it just gives a black eye to the rest of the police. Police officers are doing a hard job. And part of what makes it so hard is the fact that there is a standard in place. In order to be a good cop, you have to hold yourself to a very high standard. And we, as the public that employs these police officers to serve and protect us, the innocent among us, need to also hold them to a high standard. But we need to also be very careful about how judgmental we are, because it's not a job that we would want to do. It's not a job I would want to do. And most of the people that I know wouldn't want to be a police officer. I couldn't be a good officer. I would lose my temper. I would do things that I keep saying we need to hold the standard higher. That's why I don't do it. I love the idea of being involved with upholding the law and preserving the peace. I would love to think that I would be really good at it, but I know that as far as a uniformed officer running a beat and dealing with what they have to deal with personality-wise and criminal-wise on a daily basis, I couldn't keep my cool. And since I'm not particularly physically imposing, I would probably be going for the taser and then going for the gun quite a bit. That's part of how I know that law enforcement was not the right path for me. Anybody else that gets involved with this, you have to think the same thing. So before we start condemning all police officers, because I've seen so much cop bashing in the social media the last several days. I mean, ever since the South Carolina shooting. Actually, it was North Carolina, I'm sorry. Ever since the North Carolina shooting. There's been a ton of police bashing, more so than usual. And that's because everybody can agree that that was over the top and should have never happened. This guy should have never had a badge. Now, I don't understand in what universe it's okay to use your patrol car to smash into somebody in order to subdue them. So this Arizona video, it is very shocking. If you haven't seen it, like I said, I suggest you go take a look at it. You can find it at foxnews.com. It's all over the internet now. It would be hard for you to miss. It was going everywhere. I found it at Mashable.com. I found it fairly early over there. I don't know if they were the first one to have it, but I do know they're one of the few that has the dash cam from both police cars. The one that sees the guy shooting up in the air and looks like he actually takes aim for a second at one of the police officers that was there in the car. And then you see I mean, the footage from the car that actually smashes into him. You see them come up, hit him, and then smash into the wall, and then you see the damage to the windshield, and you know, that's about all you see. The video from the other one, you see the car sling in, and you see the guy go flying into the air. And it's fortunate for the alleged criminal that he got knocked up in the air, because otherwise he would have been pinned up against a freaking brick wall that's a divider between driveways, it looked like. It did damage to the car. Had he been stuck between that and the car when he went through it, then there's no way that I can imagine that he would survive that. In my mind, that is excessive. I don't see too many ways to justify that. Again, I asked the question at the Tap Into the Truth Facebook page today. I put a link there. So if all else fails for you, go ahead and go to Tap Into the Truth Facebook page. That's TAPP Into the Truth. And you can find a link to that. And several of the stories we'll talk about tonight, and a few more that we haven't talked about or won't get to tonight. But you can find the video, and you can see it there. This guy had proven himself to be violent. And ordinarily, I don't have sympathy for violent criminals. Most of the time, whatever ends they meet, they have went out and they have asked for. You know, you do bad things to people, bad things are going to happen to you. It's that simple. But this has nothing to do with sympathy for the criminal in this case, as much as it is, would this cop have a similar reaction with anyone else? It's real easy for things to escalate in these situations. Now, most law-abiding citizens aren't going to go walking down the street and firing the rifle into the air in neighborhoods, especially if they've been involved with criminal activity before, well, then they're not law-abiding citizens. But anyway, you know, you see a police officer coming, you tend not to shoot your firearm into the air. It's just common courtesy. But this excessive use of force, it's just one more black eye to one of the toughest professions that are out there. When you're standing on that thin blue line, you are a genuine, honest-to-goodness American hero. You're unsung, you're underpaid, you're definitely underappreciated, you're made out to be the enemy of a lot of folks just because they think that they should be able to get away with what to them is minor crimes, whether it's smoking pot or partying and drinking underage or what have you. Oh, you're the man, you're terrible, you're horrible. But I don't see anybody calling a crackhead when they need help. Oh, my house just got broken into. Call the local crackhead. He'll help. No, you call the cops. And you don't do it just because that's their job. You do it because you need someone there who's trained, who can investigate, who can, if necessary, hopefully, use a firearm in an effective manner to help protect you. That doesn't negate the fact that you need to have training and firearms of your own in the event that you're in a situation where someone is bearing down on you and you have to react immediately, because it's far better to be able to defend yourself than to have to wait for a police officer. Some of us are lucky enough to live in a neighborhood where the police are only moments away. Some of us live in neighborhoods where the police are 20 to 30 minutes away, if we're lucky. So the cop's not the end-all. Be prepared to take responsibility for yourself. That's something I've always said. But we've got to stop this mentality of hating the police, because the police are not our enemies. Again, we all know a bad cop. We've all had interactions with a bad cop. Some of us maybe even know multiple bad cops within a certain individual police force. And if that's the case, you know, there's just a few things that you have that you can do. But take a legal route. I mean, remember, please don't let that poison your mind towards all police officers. I know. I've said it before. tough job, doing the best they can. Let's give them the respect. Let's not let stories like these taint our ideas about all police. That's all I'm saying. But if you do have comments you'd like to share, like I said, if you're listening live, you can hop over directly at Spreaker and Spreaker.com. Listening to the show there, you can hop into the chat room, and I'd be happy to hear your comments there, as well as anything that you want to do. You can send the messages directly to TTAP at TapIntoTheTruth.com, or you can go directly to TapIntoTheTruth.com, or you can go to the Facebook page. You can send messages there if you like. Any messages worthwhile, hey, I'll be happy to read them on the air before we're done. But it is nasty. And speaking of law enforcement, also, getting a black eye. You know, the DEA technically is still law enforcement. I say that like that because sometimes it's genuinely hard to tell. Became even harder to tell today when, while testifying in front of the House committee, the current chief of the DEA basically said that she can't really fire her people. See, it kind of stems from the fact that the Secret Service, a little while back in 2012, they got involved with this prostitution scandal back when they were in Colombia. Yeah, we all heard about that. Nobody really got fired, but a lot of folks got in trouble. Well, another federal agency, that's right, the DEA, got in hot water over another sex scandal of their own. Also in Colombia, seems they were having these sex parties with prostitutes. But the administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration, Michelle Leonhardt, this past Tuesday, she was in front of the House Oversight Committee, and she was basically interrogated for 3 hours because they wanted to know what was going on when they read the Inspector General's report that found DEA agents in Bogota had engaged in sex parties with prostitutes, and that these parties were paid for by the very drug cartels that the DEA was sent to fight. Behavior's unacceptable. No duh. Okay, I've got to take an unexpected break. Hang on with me for just a moment, and when we get back, we'll be right back. Stay with me. Very sorry about that. Had an unexpected need to take a break. Sometimes that happens. Outside interference. Had a very important message I had to deal with. Anyway, apologies. Now, we were talking about the DEA, weren't we? They were involved with these drug parties, right? They're in Bogota, Colombia. And guess what? The very drug cartels that they're supposed to be there trying to stop are paying for these parties. Now, of course, Ms. Leonhardt said that, quote, this behavior is unacceptable. Well, of course it's unacceptable, for crying out loud. She continued by saying, "It's my hope that the additional training and guidance..." Get that? Training and guidance? "...that we have provided to all personnel, particularly those stationed overseas, will prevent similar incidents from occurring in the future." Now, naturally, the Oversight Committee was not particularly impressed with that. And in fact, this is one of a few times where both Democrats and Republicans sitting on this Oversight Committee seemed to be rather upset. In fact, they seemed to even become more incensed than they were to begin with. Not at the infraction itself, or at least not only at the infraction itself, but also by the weak discipline that was meted out to the still unnamed participants. Seems the worst any of them got was a 2-week suspension. Hello. Suspended with pay, I might add. Hello, you're going to get a 2-week paid vacation because you were involved in illegal and illicit activities in a foreign land paid for by people you're supposed to be stopping. She was asked point blank, "Do you have any idea how absurd all of this sounds to an ordinary human being?" Not just an ordinary American citizen, but an ordinary human being. She repeatedly explained that the, quote, "maze of civil service systems protections for government workers prevented her from firing federal employees." She was accused of simply looking the other way. Quote, "That's what's happening in your agency. You're protecting the people who solicited prostitutes, who had 15 to 20 sex parties, went through this whole operation, and used taxpayers' money to do it." The Department of Justice Inspector General's report released last month found that corrupt local police officers in Bogota arranged for the sex parties with prostitutes that were funded by local drug cartels for the DEA agents and their government-leased quarters. And they did this over a period of several years. The report also found that, quote, "although some of the DEA agents participating in these parties denied it, the information in the case file suggests they should have known the prostitutes in attendance were paid with cartel funds." The report also claimed that the local police protected the DEA agents' property, including weapons, computer, and smartphones, while the parties were ongoing. None of the devices was believed to have been compromised. Under tough questioning from one of my personal heroes, Mr. Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, she also denied knowing whether any of the prostitutes were underage. Quote, "I don't know that." That's a heck of a quote, isn't it? "I don't know that." The response, of course, prompted a very frustrated Trey Gowdy to shout, "You have to work with agents over whom you can't discipline and have no control, and you have no control over their security clearance? What the hell do you get to do?" That's kind of why I like Trey Gowdy. He doesn't mince words, he doesn't play around. The report also said the behavior exposed agents to possible coercion, extortion, and blackmail. Which is understandable. You get caught up in something like that, well, then you've opened yourself up to a lot of potential extortion, haven't you? According to another one of the representatives there, Representative Lynch, told Leon Hart that he wants the unnamed agents involved to be named and shamed. And another, Representative Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland, asked her, Do you think you're the right person for this job? That is the $64,000 question, isn't it? You're supposed to be in charge, and while you know this kind of behavior is going on, you do nothing to curtail it, and the maximum punishment is a 2-week suspension. You use bureaucratic backwater BS as an excuse not to do anything else. These people violated the oath they took to enforce the laws that they're supposed to be enforcing. How on earth do they get away with keeping their jobs? If there really is that many ways to duck and dodge and keep your job as a federal employee, then maybe we should all become federal employees. Let's find a way, shall we? For crying out loud, that is ridiculous. Made it very clear when one of the ranking Democrats on the committee is calling you out, then your job is in danger. And make no mistake about it, the House Oversight Committee will take steps that are necessary to make something happen. The question is, will this eventually be pushed under a rug somewhere and then forgotten? Or is this a case where the public now, thanks to reporting and news outlets and shows like this, will we keep enough of the spotlight on here that eventually Americans will demand action? Because again, just like with our local police officers, our federal officers and federal agents have to be held to a higher standard. You very easily could consider this taking a bribe. When you're there to stop the cartels and the cartels are paying for your recreational activity, where you're giving up your weapons and your personal electronic devices, that puts you in a possible world of hurt. The fact that this has come out now means that it can't be used to blackmail or extort these people. Unless, of course, the fact that these names haven't come out. So the individuals, especially if any of them are relatively high up or any of them happen to be married back here in the States and could face serious consequences through a divorce, they still have a lot of things to want to keep hidden here. This must be made public so that the threat of extortion by DEA adversaries, the cartels in this particular case, so that they can't use this against them, thereby use it against us, the American public. Because we're the ones put at risk when these people drop the ball. It's just that simple. We've got ISIS just across the border, and we've got agents playing around in Colombia. And if they're doing it in Colombia, you know it's happening in other places too. You know it is. I want to know where and when it became part of their culture that they accepted that it's okay to behave this way. These people have been given badges and they've taken an oath. They've sworn an oath to uphold a specific set of laws. And the ones that are going to places like Bogota and Mexico and that are directly involved with fighting the drug cartels, they're taking serious risk. They're in harm's way. And I understand, you work hard, you need to play hard. And I'm not going to condone their actions. I just know that I can understand the mentality that led them to thinking that a sex party is okay. It's not. They can find other ways to recreate. But at no point in time is it ever okay to let the cartels, your sworn enemy, pay for it. No matter what it is. Where is the higher standard? Where is the honor? Where is the sense of duty, the sense of purpose? These people are violating their oaths and they're violating the trust to the American people. They should be fired. They may be great agents other than this, but it only takes one serious issue that makes you lose a job in the private sector. I could be the greatest production manager ever of a certain manufacturing company, and if I go in and I completely ignore a safety protocol and somebody gets hurt because of it, I deserve to be fired. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of quality service without an incident. If I purposely ignore something that I know is wrong, and somebody gets hurt because of it, then that should be me out the door. So there is no years of service or great job you're doing otherwise. This is the type of seriousness. They're breaking multiple laws beyond just breaking their oath. And we can't have people in positions of law enforcement, no matter what that position is, if they're willing and capable of breaking their oath. Period. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take one last break, and then we're going to come in and wrap it up. We're going to talk about the title story. I hate waiting to the very end, but I thought these were more important than that. I just thought this was a story that would get some folks' attention. Now, we're going to talk about Al Sharpton and his upcoming hunger strike. So stay with me. We'll be right back. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed time to tap into the truth. How about that for the old promo? Now, that used to be the way we rolled into the show, and I still like that. We made changes, of course. Got a lot of feedback. Some folks just didn't particularly like the music. I'm always going to be fond of that. I think that's a very good descriptive opening to the show. So every now and then, I'm going to play that in remembrance of how the show started. At any rate, promised you that we would talk now about Al Sharpton. Now, Al Sharpton, of course, has been one of our favorite people for a long time. He is a genuine, undisputed race baiter. There's absolutely no question about it. This man makes a living over keeping the racial divide where it is. He's not interested in solutions. He's not interested in reaching out. But this newest little stunt is very interesting, and I thought it kind of odd when I first heard it, but then I actually read the rest of the article, and then it really became clear that this is more a joke than anything else. Although he's completely serious, and so are the many people that are dealing with him. Now, I came across this story over at redstate.com, so if you want to check out there. It seems that Al, Mr. Reverend Sharpton, is so dead set on Loretta Lynch being confirmed as our new Attorney General, because, you know, Eric Holder has stepped down. Probably so that he's out of office long enough to receive a presidential pardon before the occupier is out of office. I'm sure that's what this is. I mean, let's not forget, Fast and Furious was all Eric Holder. At least he's going to be the fall guy for it. And it was so illegal, he's going to need a pardon. I have a feeling that his retirement from the office at this point, his resignation, has a lot to do with having to be out of office for a certain amount of time before he can receive that pardon. They just don't want the next president, especially if it looks like it may be someone other than Hillary Clinton, that might come in and, I don't know, look at the possibility of criminal charges against him. Not that you should face criminal charges if you've committed a crime. How crazy is that? But anyway, let's get back to the story, because this is hilarious. Now, my first initial reaction, Al Sharpton threatens hunger strike if Loretta Lynch is not confirmed as AG. And I'm thinking, what? Okay. Now, of course, this is even less of a joke than it seems to me, because, Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, although I'm not sure who reveres him exactly, other than some loons on the left maybe still do, he's lost a lot of weight in recent years. When he took on his show over at MSNBC, don't know how you get to do all the stuff he does as an activist and still supposedly be a commentator on a news show anywhere, but he lost a lot of weight for TV. He's not the same big guy. And if he was that same big guy, I would say go ahead with the hunger strike, at least for a few weeks. It'll do you some good. Not that I couldn't use to lose a little weight, so I probably shouldn't throw too many stones there. But, Al has lost a lot of weight. So, he's rather thin. And he's almost sickly looking, quite honestly. He doesn't look as healthy as he did before. But then I get into this article, and I've just got to read it to you, or at least I'll read you the highlights, the Reader's Digest version. It turns out that this so-called hunger strike means even less than you would expect anything from Al Sharpton to mean, because the bottom line here is that an advocacy group founded by Little Reverend Al Sharpton, along with female civil rights leaders, they're launching a hunger strike where they're going to break up into groups. And these groups of people are going to take turns, alternating days, where they decide that they're going to abstain from eating food until Lynch is confirmed to replace Eric Holder. The new AG. So in other words, nobody's actually going to go on an actual hunger strike. Nobody's going to be in any kind of danger of starving to death whatsoever. So if Loretta Lynch is not confirmed as the new Attorney General, nobody in this group is going to run the risk of starving. They just want to look cool while complaining about Loretta Lynch, because in 2015, of course, that's what the Democratic Party leadership's all about. As long as there's a social media buzz and the right people are murmuring compliments, that's all that matters. Now, something else that's worth keeping in mind is that the only reason Loretta Lynch hasn't already been confirmed, because they're going to confirm her, is because the Democrats are doing their version of a filibuster, and they're trying to filibuster an anti-human trafficking bill that they've been blocking. The reason they've been blocking that, we talked about this like 3 weeks ago on the Sunday show, they're blocking this human trafficking bill, well, anti-human trafficking bill, because it doesn't include funding for abortion. That's why they don't like it. Oh, we can't use this to go kill babies, so we've got to stop it. So we're doing this, and while we're doing this, we can't get on with the business of actually looking at Loretta Lynch, whether we're going to confirm her or not. You know, but, you know, if they went ahead and passed the bill, or at least stopped trying to block it, because the Democrats don't have enough votes to stop it, so if they don't filibuster, it's going to pass. Once they stop that, then they can get back to the business of doing the other things that they're supposed to do. Now, by letting it go, if they stop the filibuster, that of course will mean that there will be fewer minority babies that don't get aborted. But hey, you know, the Democratic Party leadership needs to decide which is more important, because they can't have everything they want. They're not in the majority. But here's the thing. Here's what we're saying. This hunger strike, which as it turns out, Al Sharpton hasn't actually agreed to be part of one of the groups. He's going to be the front man for it. He's going to say, oh yeah, that's us. We're on a hunger strike. They're going to alternate days. These different groups, they're not even going to do every other day, okay? Because there's going to be multiple groups. There's no mention of exactly how many groups. They may divide up to the point that there's 5 or 10. That means they may fast one day out of a month, for all we know. That's where we're at with this. So this is absolutely hilarious. It only sounds impressive if you take them at face value and don't bother to look at them. We're going on a hunger strike. Hey, Al. That's not how a hunger strike works. Okay? That's not how a hunger strike works. You don't go hungry for one day out of ever how many days, and then, tag, you guys are in. No, that's not how it works. Don't even throw around the words. But it is another case of classic liberal switcheroo. They're trying to win the argument by controlling the language, not having the better ideas, not having the higher moral purpose, but in controlling the language. We want to change what something means so we can say it in a way that sounds nicer, that sounds better, that sounds more impressive, that sounds like we're powerful and mighty, when we're really just a joke. That's where we are. Loretta Lynch has not gotten to the confirmation phase of her nomination because the Democrats are still attempting to filibuster a bill that was brought forth a while back. Like I said, about 3 weeks ago on the Sunday show, we talked about this was one of the outrages of the week. It's a bill that's meant to provide funding for programs to help former victims of human trafficking. Young women who were kidnapped as girls that were forced into the sex slave trade. That in many cases were forced into addictions and drugs so that they could be controlled by these people. These are funds that are meant and designed to help them get back to having a normal life. And the Democrats were all for it in committee, because in committee they didn't bother to pay attention to the fact that it was specifically worded in a fashion that money would not be provided for abortions. Once it got to the floor for consideration, they decide they have to try to filibuster this because they're willing to go to bat to make sure federal dollars are being spent to kill babies. That's where they're at. They want you to think that they're the enlightened ones, but they just want to kill babies. That's more important than helping these victims of human trafficking. And then they say they want their new attorney general, but they're not willing to lay down the fight to get to it. And then these people who, you know, since Al Sharpton and company were told to stay away from the North Carolina cop shooting, they didn't want a repeat of the Ferguson circus. The families of the shot man said, hey, Al, stay away. Well, That ruined his plans for this month, so he had to come up with something. Al, come on, man. You're better than that. You can come up with something far better than a hunger strike that has nothing to do with an actual hunger strike. You can do better. I know you can. That's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at in America. Today is tax day, ladies and gentlemen. I hope, I pray, that you filed your taxes, especially if you actually owe something. Because as long as you got them filed today, you can file for an extension on paying it, and you're okay. You can file for an extension on turning it in, but you're going to have to pay the penalties. You've got till midnight tonight, in whatever time zone you're in, to get your return postmarked and not have to pay a penalty. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have taken care of that and that you don't have to worry about facing more repercussions and more retribution from the Internal Revenue Service. That's going to have to be it for tonight. Hope everybody's having a great evening. Hope you guys will join me Sunday for Tap Into the Truth. We'll be starting at 3 p.m. Eastern for that show. We will rehash some of the bigger stories from tonight, but we'll also talk about some other things, including Marco Rubio being in the race, reaction to Hillary Clinton's announcement via video. We were going to talk a little bit about that last Sunday, which, of course, was when she made her announcement, but got involved with a caller, and we didn't get too heavily into the wording of her announcement. Still want to get into that. We may do that early in the show, just to get to it, since it's kind of a leftover thing. But regardless of all that, I just have to tell you, things are crazy, and they're only getting crazier. But if you plan on making a difference in this world, you have to keep a few simple things in mind. And number one, if you're going to reach out to somebody that has a different point of view, you have to actually have a conversation. In order to do that, you have to make sense, first and foremost. Get your facts straight so that you can actually talk to these people with truth behind you. And once you do that, then you're in good shape. So remember, make sense. Because if you're not making sense, you're just making noise. If you're just making noise, you're part of the problem. Stop making noise. Start making a difference. And meanwhile, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time. Put in some effort. Do your own research. And always be prepared to put in some effort, because you have got to use your brain. And you've got to work just a little bit if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us. As always, I appreciate it. And for everybody that's listening in on Stitcher.com and everybody that's listening on iTunes the last several weeks, thank you very much. The numbers have been exploding on both this show and the Sunday show. In the last 2 weeks, I have hit better than 40,000 plays a week on both shows, and I have you guys to thank for it. I appreciate it. You're doing it for us. We appreciate it. Also, if you're listening on TuneIn, tell your friends, hey, let's get the listenership up there too. TuneIn.com, you can find the podcast. You can find us also at podcast.com. You can find us at iTunes. You can find us at Stitcher.com. And you, of course, can find it right here on the Spreaker.com page. It's easy enough to find. You also can find Tap Into the Truth Sunday show over at blogtalk.com, so check out BTR. You also can find it in all the same other places. And again, if you're one of the listeners at iTunes and one of the listeners at Stitcher, thank you so much for helping this show to blow up. Huge numbers compared to where we have been on weekly levels, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's it. I'm out. Good night, everybody. We will see you next week.
I can say all I need to say.